Hi, I'm Paul Martin Hennebery of Telos Theological Ministries and Telos Biblical Institute. And what we're going to do in this segment for a few weeks is that we're going to look at a few questions that are commonly asked by people. Of course, there are all kinds of different questions that are asked, and maybe we'll get round to a good many of them as this series continues, but for now, we'll just deal with, say, 6, 7, 8 of them, and then move on to another subject. I do want to say this before we go on to the first question, and that is that by design, I'm not trying to get specific in my answers. I'm not trying to do anything but give kind of a general direction of a biblical response. I think that that's enough for what a lot of people are looking for. They're just looking for a trajectory to think along, and maybe a few suggestions along lines which are profitable from a Christian perspective. Later on, what I intend to do is to get a little bit more specific in those areas that I cover, both here in the Q&A, but also in other subjects that we deal with. So there will be, therefore, plenty of room for objections for those that want to say, well, you know, he's not really giving me specifics and he's not giving me any particular detail. He's just dealing with generalities. And, all right, put my hand up straight away and say that that's more or less the case. But I think that the answers that I'll give here are true answers. They're the right answers. And just with that proviso that they could do with filling in if I had more time. So with that said, let's go to the first question. It's certainly true that the majority of intellectuals, often self-styled, in the academy, in the media, in our scientific establishments and elsewhere, will say that they don't believe Christianity because not only is it untrue, but it's just plain daft. Often they come from a naturalistic perspective when they say such things. And indeed, they come from a peculiarly westernized naturalistic and scientistic perspective. In many other parts of the world, even though they may object to Christian teaching, they would at least be open to the possibility of supernatural realm. But not so in the Western academy. Usually in those circles, naturalism is the default position. In fact, naturalism is the truth and cannot be attacked. It can only be improved upon. So from a position like that, which of course is a biased position in favor of, I would say, an unworkable worldview, you're not going to have people that commonly entertain the claims of the Bible and the Christian faith. And yet the Bible itself gives good reasons why intellectuals and those that count themselves smart reject it. And it's not for intellectual reasons. It's very often, in fact, I would say almost always the case, for ethical reasons that they do it. Let me run through a few of these. The first of these is that, as the Bible declares, and as I think is clearly shown to be the case, we want to be independent of God. We want to be autonomous. We want to go our own way and think our own thoughts, and we don't want our thoughts to be at all lined up with the thoughts of a creator. If we do admit that there's a creator, then would have to admit that our thoughts are very often not in line with his. The God of the Bible is holy, he is loving, he is truthful, and he will judge that which he deems is wicked and untruthful. Well, that puts us in a peculiar position, because often doing things our way and thinking the way that we want to think and indulging ourselves in certain things means that we put ourselves in opposition to God. That's not a good position for us to be in, because he's much bigger than us and much more capable of dealing with us than the other way around. But being intellectuals, what we try to do is to deal with God. We do it by diminishing God's claims or throwing scorn on the whole idea of God, bringing up mock philosophical arguments against him, or just believing an outlook, for example, scientism, the belief that science is the thing that provides all of the answers to life's questions, which push God into the margins. Why do intellectuals often do this? Well, they often do it because they often believe in their pride that they have the answers, that they can prescribe the way that mankind ought to be, and if people would just agree with them, then the world would be a much better place. The reason the world doesn't agree with them is not because they're wrong, it's because the world is wrong, and the world needs to be made to see sense. This is often the attitude of professors in the university. It's often what you see in progressive people out there in the media and reading progressive books written by progressives. That they just know what the problem is and they know how to deal with it. But back of that, if you look into the lives of these individuals, they also believe that they are somehow immune from the medicine that they think all of us, all the rest of us, need to take. They believe that they can lead lives which are duplicitous, or often scandalous, and not be brought to book for it. If you read Paul Johnson's book, The Intellectuals, you will see a whole catalogue of people in history who have thought this way. And I've met a good number of them and talked to a number of them. And if you just read their books, you will see that this is often their viewpoint. The classic person that does this is Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who believed and told people over and over again that he was the most loving man on earth. And yet he treated people contemptibly and didn't have a second thought about it. Why? Well, because as an intellectual, you see, he knew what the problem was and people just had to agree with him. That has always been the case with intellectuals. And until they are humbled or humble themselves and see that their autonomy and that their own prescriptions do not work and do not deal with the ailments of mankind, but are in fact responsible for most of them, they will not come to the God who claims to have all of the answers. So why don't intellectuals often believe the Christian faith? Well, Paul says, not many wise, meaning wise in their own eyes, not many noble, meaning those that have everything and all of the acclaim and esteem of those around them, come to faith. And why? Well, because they really believe they're above it all. Christian faith demands that we humble ourselves. It demands that we see ourselves as the way God sees us. The gospel cuts everyone down to the same size, so that everyone starts at the same level. The level being a rebel, a sinner against God, who needs God's grace, who needs God's forgiveness, and who needs to believe on Jesus Christ, the one who has been sent for them to take their punishment so that they can be forgiven righteously by a just God.